Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am River. I've got a bunch of fellas around me. All sides, flanking me. To my left, first of all, we have his royalness, the Don Father.
Carleone's
The Don Father.
We're just gonna call him the Don Father.
And right across the table from me, we're just going with that. You're the Don Father for this episode.
Special guest.
Special guest, the Don Father's bitch.
Screw up across the table from me.
Hey, what's up?
And welcome back.
I think it's Johnny.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yes.
Gotcha. I wish.
Give me your best Johnny Bravo impersonation. Just give me one.
Let's go.
I don't even remember.
I'll give you your line. Stick of bread. Loaf of butter.
Stick of bread. What?
Loaf of butter.
I what are you talking about?
Just go
hoo-ha-hoo.
It's Johnny. That's terrible. I can't do it either. Anyways.
I watched like 5 episodes of that show when I was
younger. That's a problem. You need to watch more.
I enjoyed it.
Wait, close up your laptop. What show are we talking about?
Johnny Bravo, dude.
Oh, Johnny Bravo when we were kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like my favorite show as a kid that I never watched. It was like never on when I wanted to watch TV.
Hey, Pretty Mama.
Yeah, that was all right. That was not bad.
He did.
Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. Suck my dick.
Suck your pecs, bitch.
Yeah.
It was a late
bitch, you're worth nothing to me.
I don't know.
He might have.
Probably off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. He smacked his mom really around. Chauvinist. Anyways. Hey, guys. Welcome back. We're here ready to talk about some video games and some other stuff, I guess. That's usually how we go about it.
That season where everything comes out.
Is that season? I feel okay. So I had a real dark moment this week where I left my job and I have 2 weeks off, but with no paycheck.
Yeah.
And it got to this point where I realized that all of the games are coming out.
Oh, shit.
And I'm precisely not in the position to buy any of them. So, and Target was doing the buy two, get one free thing. So I was telling Stryker that I might go and get like Rise of the Tomb Raider and Black Ops 3 and whatever the fuck else, like Syndicate maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I...
Got Fallout?
Well, I got Fallout. I already had bought Fallout, so... But I got to this point where it was a real dark moment for me because I went in. So let me tell you a story about why I hate GameStop. I went in because they had finally gotten the wireless adapters for Xbox One. And so I went in.
For the PC.
For the PC, yes.
Yeah.
I went into the store and grabbed the last box on the wall. And of course, there's a big, tremendous fucking line because everyone's trading in their PlayStation 1 and GameCube. And so I wait for like 30 minutes in line, no kidding, listening to this fuckwit in front of me talk about how he... Trying to swindle them into taking the Nathan Drake collection out of the PlayStation bundle and giving him Fallout instead. He's like, I just don't really like the Uncharted games. I don't think they're very good. So that's the only reason why I'm not buying it. So if you want to just take that out and put Fallout in... I listened to this motherfucker say that like 4 times and they're just like, we just can't do that, sir. It's... Not us, it's, you know, the manufacturer, and so. And then I get up to the counter, and I say, oh, I'll just take one of these. And they say, oh, yeah, that one's on hold. And I say, I was like, well, why do you still have it on the counter, or out on the shelf? And he's like, oh, I guess we must have just not taken it down. It's been really busy today. And he's like, but I think Gateway has one. So they call, and first of all, they're on the phone for like 3 to 5 minutes. Which is too long for a simple, like, do you have this? Can you hold it?
Why can't they just... Why is it that GameStop doesn't have the capability of looking something up on a fucking inventory system?
Yeah.
In all their region?
Yeah.
How does that not...
It's fucked... And so I left empty-handed again. And then I was sitting out... I was waiting because my girlfriend had the car. She was driving it around. And I was waiting on a bench on the outside of fucking...
Your fiance.
A fiance, yes.
They don't like that.
Fiance, sorry.
They also don't like being called bitches.
So I was sitting on a bench on the outside of a mall. One of the saddest places to be.
Worst place.
Worst place. Yeah. No one ever wants.
There's no worse place than
no
that.
No one ever wants to be sitting on a bench at a mall.
No.
And it started to rain. Of course. And then I just had to sit through this. And then I fucking looked at my bank account and I realized all at once that I could not buy any of the games that I wanted to buy.
Fuck.
Did you just cry?
I got in the car and I just choked. I just choked her, man.
You should.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Dude, you should have called
me. I said this is your fault!
You should have called me, man. I would have had words of wisdom.
You would have.
And they would have ended with bitch.
Yeah. They always do.
They always do.
Nowadays, at least.
Yeah.
So, we have some news now that that story's out of the way. Does anyone else have any good stories?
Can I say, you reminded me of something, and that's not necessarily a story, but just something that I always experience. At GameStop and sometimes Video Game Headquarters, I don't know why it is, but these places, they attract this type of person, this certain type of person who goes to who goes to a store, and at the time they're checking out, when there's a line behind them that's clearly visible, not a secret person that came up behind them that they didn't know was there,
yeah,
a fucking line that's visible, they know that they're there, they know there's people waiting, but this person doesn't care about that. What they care about is going up to the checkout and talking to this person about what games they like, what they did that day, all this useless, trivial bullshit. And the person clearly has no interest. They just want to check them out and get to the next person. But this I don't know why.
Oh, people, dude, you like Madden 2?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I bought Madden like 2 weeks ago, and I played it for like 27 hours, and... Man, I really like the Rams, but like in real life, it's like, what are you, shut up.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck out.
Get the fuck
out. Raider scum.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. More psycho Raiders.
Ah, dude. Too far.
Dude.
Back up. They're human beings. Let's be.
Okay. It's not like they're fucking mole rats.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yaoguai.
Is fucking expensive.
I ran into a Yaoguai today, and shit. I pissed my apartment.
The new design.
My whole apartment.
The new design. Your whole apartment.
Frightening.
Yeah, it's frightening.
All the monster designs are really good. That's another topic.
Yeah, that's another topic. We'll get into that. Anyways, PlayStation goddamn virtual reality.
Holy shit.
It has its own processor.
Really?
Yes, it does, Johnny.
We brought this up a
while
back.
This was under speculation, especially when, who was it, Adam Boyes, I believe, was talking in an interview about how it would be, I think it was Adam Boyes, it might not have been, but talking about how it's going to be priced as a new console or a new, you know, entertainment system and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of led some initial speculation about it being, having a box, a processing box that comes with it, and now that has been confirmed that it does have a processing box. This will, you know, allow for.
So
I don't know how it'll interface. That's kind of. Well, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, how is it? Is it gonna be like? I know there's been situations, and I've never really dug into this, but like, with like taking a MacBook and using like a what is it? Thunderbolt? Is that what they use? Cable or something like that? Some proprietary. And using like an external. Video card on like MacBooks,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So like, I don't know if it's that kind of situation. Just kind of the technology is what's more interesting to me is how that's going to interface, or you know, I don't know.
Well, so does it hook up to the PS4? Is that still?
That's what I assume.
Yeah. So
I assume that it or it could be just like more RAM or something. Or
I mean, the Oculus Rift is pretty resource intensive, so when I found out that Sony was doing it on a console thing, I'm like,
well, that was always your
doesn't work.
That was always your kind of, you know, even back when we were just first talking about the PlayStation VR when it was Morpheus still, you are always kind of skeptical of its legitimacy in kind of the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not quite sure, but I'm still seeing a lot of neat projects start to surface. Like, there was this cool announcement for a Korean horror thing for the Morpheus that was at this Korean Sony event recently. And there's a trailer, and it was, like, styled after Korean horror movies. It was a Korean studio. It's like, you never see stuff like that, but it's like a first-person horror game. It's fucking awesome. And
I'm afraid to play. Are you dying, Phillip?
I'm trying to explain
I'm trying to explain to Stryker why I got some water.
You don't have to explain
that. I had
he doesn't. He's doing it.
Sorry, he was just glaring at me.
Anyways.
my throat is burning. I had some
spicy salsa. I am not ready for first-person horror games.
Oh, I am. Dude, they're good.
I'm willing to try it. I'm like, I'm going to be really gung-ho about it. And then 15 minutes into the game, I'm going to be like, I can't do this.
I'm not even ready for the horror games of the past, of the 2000s.
Oh, no. Hell no. Hell no. Anyways, it's the modern-day expansion pack.
Yeah, Until Dawn is having an expansion pack released for the Morpheus. Originally, Until Dawn was designed as a Morpheus project.
Oh, yeah, and they're having Ride of Satan or whatever? It's like a roller coaster thing or some shit like that.
I don't know what they're doing for
the Until Dawn thing.
What's it called? I don't know.
But it's designed as
Satan's uterus?
As a Morpheus.
There you go, River. That's expansion. It.
Yeah. Until Dawn, Satan's uterus.
Dude, I'd be scared to play
it. I'd play the shit out of that thing. I was talking about the expansion pack for the N64 that was just RAM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Donkey Kong 64.
Donkey Kong 64, Majora's Mask, Perfect Dark. Well, you could play some Perfect Dark.
All of the good games, basically.
Funny thing about Donkey Kong 64 and the expansion pack, a little piece of trivia, it played perfectly fine without it, but at some point in the game, it just crashed randomly. They had no idea why it was happening, but when they had the expansion pack in, it didn't happen. So they just okay, well, we're going to have to bundle it with the expansion pack, and it ended up costing
$90 or something like that.
It ended up costing them millions because it was an expensive piece to bundle with.
It ended up costing them like $90. I don't know.
Well, I mean, overall, yeah. Like Nintendo.
I just remember paying like $90 for that game. That was one of the really expensive ones.
Yep.
Little sidebar, Johnny. You said all the good games. Are you a Majora's Mask fan?
Yeah.
Good.
I like Ocarina, but I like Majora's Mask. I mean, they're both great games.
Choose one, motherfucker.
I have more sentimentality for Ocarina, but I think Majora's Mask's a more interesting Zelda game.
Is sentimentality a word?
I was wondering that,
Let's fact check that.
Look it up real quick.
I don't think it is. I'm going to be honest.
Fuck you, no.
Fuck you.
So that's two of the games I'm ashamed to admit that.
Sentimentality, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's a word.
Woo! I never beat Ocarina.
You're about
I
one
really
for
beat.
15.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's one step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So you've never, have you played somewhere. Them?
I've played Ocarina more than I played Majora's Mask.
Go back, dude. Go back to him.
I don't play 64 anymore.
Just download Project 64.
Don't play what's his name's file.
Don't play Ben.
Wait, I know Ben Drowned.
Do you have
Ben was my goddamn brother, okay?
Do you have
it's a terrifying story.
Believe me, I know.
A what?
Do you have a 3DS?
No, I don't. Oh. No.
Because the Wii, the 3DS.
I haven't had a handheld game system since.
Well, buy goddamn 3DS. Really, and they're really fantastic.
Yeah, I hear they're great. 3DS remakes. I hear they're great. Yeah.
The 3DS is awesome. I just don't have. I can never. Like, all my friends are.
Borrow
like,
Johnny's.
Are book readers and handheld game players. Like, I've just always had these friends that whenever they're not doing something, they just pull out their handheld whatever that they brought with them and they read a couple pages or they fight a battle and then they put it away. Flashlight. I can't fucking do that at all.
We have a word for those people. Bitches.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening. Fuck you.
We're just kidding.
No, we're not.
To Jack and all your other friends.
Yeah, they're all... Fucking Jack. Hey, if you're listening, you old prissy bitch. He's got the little teeny 3DS.
Fucking promo being cut here.
He put in the little 3DS. He bought one of those. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't like the idea of the big one. It's got a bigger screen, bigger resolution. It was like $10 more.
Move to Canada, bitch.
Fucking Canada.
Yeah.
He like his little candy bar-sized goddamn...
Maple syrup.
Handheld console.
Slurping
purchase.
Cocksuckers.
That's why I think of Canada.
It's all the reasons to hate it.
Yeah. Anyways, PlayStation VR. So, I mean, do we have anything else to say on that? No?
It could turn around, or it could make... I don't think it'll survive to be like a big thing, but I think it could easily push VR in a good direction and not turn out horribly for Sony. I think it could make put VR more on the map and allow the bigger ones to succeed.
It's a huge mystery at this point.
Yeah, it's coming off as less of a joke now.
Do we know when it's coming out?
I believe it is Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wait, really?
Sorry.
Okay, well, Phil, I need your help on this segue, man.
Okay, well, I don't know what we're talking about next.
Well, speaking of not knowing what you're talking about,
not knowing what you're talking about.
Phil, you just fucking stole my segue. Give me that notepad back, you bitch.
Speaking of a reunion.
What?
Give me the notepad back, you motherfucker.
Cloud Strife storms his way
into Smash Brothers coming this fall. I don't know about that, but I just wanted to say
there's
that.
There's a Nintendo Direct going on as we
As we speak, and they're announcing that Satoru Iwata is not dead.
And there's a new...
he just moved to Cuba.
Oh, Jesus.
He comes out and power bombs fucking Reggie Fils-Aimé and says, "I'm back, bitches!"
Oh, you're fucking terrible.
Oh, there is a female Link in the Hyrule Warriors called Linkle.
We're coming to that, man!
Oh, bitch.
Fuck. Yeah, we have to talk about Cloud. Shit. Cloud Strife is coming to Smash Brothers. So Cloud Strife, as we all know, is the famed hero from Final Fantasy VII. He's making an appearance in Smash Brothers. So this is really weird.
It is weird on a bunch of levels.
It's like the first... It's like Square is... Like the first appearance of like a Square thing. Or at least Final Fantasy. Or
yeah.
Nintendo in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's also just crazy that they're still doing DLC characters for Smash.
Oh yeah, and they're all going to be sword characters from now on.
It doesn't make any fucking sense though. Where does...
Jesus.
Where does Cloud fit in with Nintendo?
Absolutely nowhere. But
like
doing
Final
it.
Fantasy was, in fact.
Well, here
there's
I'll tell
a,
you. I'll
there's
tell
like
you.
A bloody history with Final Fantasy VII and
I'll
Nintendo.
I'll tell you where he fits. Yes, that's where he fits in the bloody history in that weird tech demo that was just Terra fighting something or whatever, and then 64. That will turn into the 64. Final Fantasy 64, was that it?
Well, yeah.
It turned into Final Fantasy 7 when they pulled out.
And they went to Sony, who's their competitor, and they stole their biggest franchise. Yeah, so it's
that's
like,
where he fits in.
Like, the breaking point of Nintendo and Square Enix's, Final Fantasy relationship, there was nothing Final Fantasy other than, like, Crystal Chronicles and some one-off things. There hasn't been a single main number entry.
Mystic Quest?
Like, I guess some handheld... like Game Boy. Has
well,
some,
yeah, there's been yeah, there's like, been four and stuff, 4 and 6. I think were remade on the DS, right?
Yeah, but nothing before 6, I think, has ever been on a Nintendo console.
You're right.
So that's weird. I don't know.
It's really weird. But the goddamn trailer that they put out was bombastic.
Maybe it's the beginning of some type of partnership. I mean, a lot of it seems like I don't know. Maybe Smash Brothers characters are. I think they've even said before that they put Smash characters in some of them to gauge interest about, certain projects or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
revivals and
yeah,
stuff.
Things like that. So
Final Fantasy remake.
It would
remake.
Be weird for them to have some deal with Square literally just to put Cloud in Smash for no other reason than to have him in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe they're,
It's kind of also weird because Sony at their E3 just announced the Final Fantasy VII Remake too, but that was a Sony exclusive thing.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like that Cloud is in the game, not because he won't be fun to play or something, but because all those shitty Photoshops you see of, 12-year-olds with their dream Smash list, and it's got, Master Chief and Cloud on it.
I've seen a lot of
those,
Johnny.
There's, a million of them.
I've not seen one.
Wait, so you don't like he's in the game because 12-year-olds...
Where do you find these?
Yeah, it's been a thing on the internet for years. Ever since, before Brawl.
Oh, yeah, I saw one.
Would guess their dream list, and they'd, be leaked roster, and there's
Hatsune Miku, that's it. That's all I need.
Dude, I'd play it.
Fuck yeah, I would.
Well... Speaking of blonde, blue-eyed characters with ambiguous genders, guess who's getting it cut off?
Are you stopping us from talking more about it?
Well, there was that pause. I thought you were done.
Philip, fuck off, dude.
just stop it.
Just stop. Just stop, Phil.
Fucking A. Okay.
Phil, you'll have another chance. I don't know. So the trailer, we all watched it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The trailer showed every fucking... Primal. Thing, yeah, every, they showed Bahamut, Ifrit, and every fucking Leviathan and so many goddamn things.
The
and
beard the, man.
Rama.
Ramu's.
Yeah, Ramu. Ramu or whatever. But then it also showed he did an Omni Slash. So what the fuck?
So basically, I'm guessing.
What does this
man do? Yeah, I'm guessing that the primals are like a part of the stage you play on. Like they show up and nuke the map.
What game times. Were they called primals in?
Final Fantasy 14, at least.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the one I played the most. Yeah. Though.
I was just trying to figure that out. That's what I thought, but.
Well, they're technically primals, but you use them as summons in all the other ones.
Yeah.
And in Final Fantasy 14, they're the big bosses.
Eidolons.
Yes.
Eidolons?
Eidolons? That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, that's what they're called, nine.
So I guess they changed that. Huh.
Yeah, they do. They were called GFs in 8.
GFs.
Fucking GFs.
Yeah. Capital G meant Guardian Forces.
It does.
Oh, cool.
It meant Guardian Forces.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was a weird one. Mm. And they made you lose your memory, so. That's how you all forgot that you grew up together.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a pretty stupid.
I forgot. I missed that part. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it's another sword character.
Does he have? Did it show his stage in the trailer?
Yeah, it was a stage in Midgar, which is the city you start out in Final Fantasy VII.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, whatever.
I wonder how much this DLC character thing is going to go. Like, how much further? If they're going to release a bunch more, or if this is.
Well, they're going to go Master Chief, and then yeah, I was looking at your pit stains, man. I saw him.
It's gangsta.
I seen them.
So we're going Master Chief, Captain America, Hulk Hogan,
Goku.
Oh wait, no, we can't have that.
He got scrubbed from Smash Bros.
Bill Cosby.
He'll just taunt.
Jeff Daniels.
Zoobity bop.
Man, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Big Kahuna.
Bro. Yep. Anyways.
Quentin Tarantino.
Vic Vega.
Vic Boss.
Dude. Vic Boss.
It always comes back.
It always does.
You play anymore? Metal Gear Solid 5?
No.
You're never gonna finish it.
I will.
No, you won't.
I won't. I will, but I won't.
Anyways, Phil, now would have been a great time to do your segue. But anyways, now since speaking of androgynous blonde-haired characters,
guess who's getting it cut off?
Are you talking about
his dick?
Oh, getting it cut off. Okay. Whatever. There's a female Link finally.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Coming, Phil. We love you. There's a female Link coming to everyone's favorite Zelda game, Hyrule Warriors. Her name is Linkle, which is dumb. Which is just dumb.
Really dumb. There's nothing more to...
Let's all go around... Okay.
Let's do a round table.
Links? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of a better... Linda.
Linksy. Linksy is a feminine-sounding
Linksy,
name.
Yeah, Linksy.
But even then, that sounds stupid.
It's like, stupid, but not as stupid as Linkle. Linkle sounds like a type, like a device that hangs off of something that you have to take off.
Linkle sounds like a companion device that a tech company released that never got used by anyone.
Yeah. Linkle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Linkle sounds like a cute little, like router that you could get for like $30.
Yes,
that is a really piece of shit. It's like a piece of shit.
It's designed for people who travel a lot, but it never works.
Yeah, and it comes in different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
You can plastic. Yeah.
They sell it. They sell it on the sides of check stands at grocery stores.
It's got a lot of rounded edges.
You see a lot of ads for it on TV.
Yeah,
that's the Linkle. That's what that is.
Not
anyways. What she look like? She's got two crossbows and some tits.
Yeah, she got.
Sorry, that was like Bruce Jenner.
She's like
still looks like a dude.
Dueling some crossbows. She's got like some spats that she's wearing.
Spats like the tag tagger from
like the short like skin tight short.
Ah. Oh. Does she have video game woman design?
Yes.
Okay.
Does she look as cool as mean, like, Zelda when she woman? Dresses like a sweet...
Like, very objectifying?
I mean...
I don't know.
I saw a picture of her.
I haven't really seen it.
Okay. I just saw a picture of her, and it looked kind of modest.
Anyways, it's Hyrule Warriors, so I don't really care. Johnny was up those games, right?
I bought Hyrule Warriors and never played it.
Oh, okay, cool. That's a good way to live your life.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Huge mistake.
Well, you still have time. You still have it, right?
It was an alright game, but like I think that Dragon Quest Heroes looks more interesting, so I should have just waited and got it.
Are you a big Zelda fan?
Hold on.
Zelda is like a really weird series for me because I grew up with it and I love it, but I don't love it. Like,
I've fallen out of love with it hard. Like Zelda was one of my top franchises until like Twilight Princess.
Yeah, for me too. Because like I like Ocarina and I like the idea behind Wind Waker, but the puzzle gameplay, the dungeon crawling, it just became something I hate. Mm. I don't enjoy it at all.
You've played Into the Past?
I love. Yeah.
Okay.
And I love the charm of the world and the music and the characters and the sound. I hate the gameplay. It's not for me at all.
It's a big part of the game.
And they're long fucking games to have such simple gameplay.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. She's got tall boots.
It's pretty modest.
Tall boots, hood.
I like the idea of a female Link, and they people hinted at the new Zelda in 2016 is going to have
a female Link.
A female Link, because it kind of looked like a girl in the face when she was doing the bow.
Well, they said that wasn't.
They said that they weren't commenting.
That they also and they also said that wasn't Link.
Character
wasn't
creation.
Link. Yeah, that wasn't Link. So that was why I was like, oh, cool. So maybe there's like Link and some girl. Person that's
Link and Linkle.
Link asked, yeah, maybe it's Linkle. Maybe she's back.
Maybe it's like Lost Vikings Zelda. And you have to.
I just can't wait to hear an in-game character say her name. Because.
Hey, Linkle!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Linkle! That's, whatever. Yeah.
What NPC was that?
That was a terrified townsperson running from a fucking tornado. Yeah.
A fucking tornado that you have to fight. Anyways, what if the new Zelda has like a character creation where you like,
that'd be sweet. Yeah.
If it's not Link, then what's to stop it from like saying, here, create your character, or like, I'd like to see Geralt 10 times. Like to see some kind of like with this open world like Zelda approach that they're going, it might be cool to see some like deeper RPG elements in a Zelda game.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I would prefer that they have like the heart of the puzzly adventureness, but like
zero gimmick controls.
Yeah, no fucking gimmicks. Really simple. I don't like the simple gameplay. I don't like the everything. It's like little tykes made an RPG. It's like three big hearts. You hit it three times. Yeah. You find this really easy pattern. You whack his thing back at him. Like, it's cute, but once you've done it 500 fucking times, and each game's 50 hours long, it gets really freaking annoying. I tried to get into Wind Waker HD. I couldn't. I love it, but I cannot
play. Wind Waker's like my favorite Zelda.
I understand that, because I love everything about it. I just don't like the gameplay. Hmm. I cannot. I get into the dungeons, and I get a headache every time.
Yeah.
And when I'm out of the dungeons and I'm sailing and I'm looking at and all the awesome characters and the gorgeous art,
it's always the side quests. It's always the side quests. Zelda games are made and broken for me by the side quests and the amount of stuff. That's why I really didn't like Twilight Princess, because I felt like there was, or at least I didn't get to a point where it felt open and I felt like I could just go in and wander around the town and find the secrets and all the heart pieces and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I don't know. One of the things I'd also like in the new one is they were kind of trying to go, like you say, it's, like kind of the combat is cookie cutter. Like, he's got three hearts, you hit him three times. The combat has always been like, block and then mash A or mash whatever. And they were kind of trying to, with Skyward Sword, trying to go for some more tactical, like, you gotta swing this way, or you gotta do something like this. And that being said, like, who likes motion controls? But, like, going further with the combat,
it was an interesting idea.
And taking some more, like, putting some more thought into, like, just the way that combat plays out, and if it, whether that be more, like, more combos, like a combo system, or, like, more tactical stuff, like the
just more strategy.
Yeah, just more strategy in the combat, so.
Good idea, bad execution.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that would be cool to see them do something more with that, the combat.
Yeah.
And more platforming type stuff would
be.
A jump button, maybe?
Yeah, a jump button.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I love the spirit of adventure that those games give off, but yeah, maybe it's just not for me. I don't know. Who knows?
I think the next one will actually be called Zelda: The Spirit of Adventure.
Yeah, that'd be a good title.
Be a good title.
Yeah, I love like super like adventurous, like how you'd say, think of the idea of like an adventure as like as a kid. Yeah, that's what Zelda's kind
a
of
fucking 7 year old kid.
Well, I mean, Zelda did come from the creator, his memories of getting lost in the woods.
Yeah,
yeah, that sense of adventure and a sense of a little bit of history,
sense of crippling fear and hypothermia taking its toll.
And the distant sounds of predators.
Yes. And red eyes in the darkness.
And the Undertaker.
And the wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah. He just walks out of the woods and choke slams you.
You hear it, the bell toll in the distance.
That's nasty.
Gong.
Anyways.
Speaking of which, Bloodborne DLC is coming out pretty soon.
God damn it, I have Bloodborne and I haven't played it.
God
because of fucking Fallout.
That's okay. Yeah. You know, those games, it's hard to play like more than one kind of RPG.
Yeah, so. And I'm not going to be stopping Fallout anytime soon.
Don't juggle those two.
I'm not going to.
I got Witcher, Fallout, and Bloodborne all at once, right?
Like, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Bloodborne is a great game if...
God, every time someone says The Witcher, my heart breaks.
Because you haven't beaten it?
No, because I fucking lost my save.
Oh.
Absolutely.
That, man.
Yeah. I'm never going back.
That's wrong.
It's the drizzling shits.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry for my harshness.
It's okay.
I just never heard it said that way before.
Drizzling shits?
Really? The drizzling shits.
I've heard a lot of people say it lately. I've heard people say it throughout time. But
well, it's
lately,
the season. You know, there's a lot of drizzle. A
lot of drizzling
people
shit.
Shit every day.
Yeah.
A lot of
put the
two together.
A lot of warm food like chili and stuff, which in turn means more drizzling shit. Mm-hmm.
That's the damn truth.
It's the truth. Let's be honest here. We're all adults.
We're all adults. Yeah. Talk about drizzling shit and 007 Spectre. So who here's seen it?
I've seen it.
I saw
it. So two of the four people have seen it.
Now, I'm not gonna spoil anything for you.
You will. No, you will.
You're going to say that, but then
you'll spoil something. But I also make me want to see it more than I have ever wanted to see it before.
Okay, so I've planned everything that I've wanted to say in my head. Okay. So a big part of Skyfall was really about James Bond and his relevance as a pop culture figure. And Spectre kind of takes a step further, being about spy fiction in general and whether or not that's still relevant. And even though Bond was always pretty fantastical as it was, that question of, well, how can we have spies when we have drone warfare and all this other crap? That question was going to catch up sooner or later, and I think this movie really addresses it. And if there is no place for James Bond in the 21st century any longer, then what better time than now to make a completely unbridled Bond movie? And that's what it is. It's every single thing about it is Bond, but it's done in a way that isn't made into a mockery of itself. So that's really good. Cinematography is great. You know, for Daniel Craig, for a guy who is apparently burned out about playing Bond, you wouldn't be able to tell, because this is like my favorite performance with him as Bond. And it really makes sense, because the first three movies, he's got this chip on his shoulder, and in Skyfall, the end of Skyfall, he kind of, you know, faces a lot of demons. So in the fourth movie of the Craig franchise, you have James Bond that likes being 007. Like, he's funnier in this movie. He's funnier in this movie
Inspector?
Than he was in Spectre, yes. Uh-huh. He's funnier in this movie a little bit more than he was in the first three films. I mean, there was kind of a funny side to him in the last three, but he's just, I don't know, he likes being 007 this time around. If this is the last Daniel Craig movie, it's a good place to stop, because it really presents a sense of finality. They really do try to close the gap and bring everything full circle. I will say that I was disappointed with the villain. It was supposed to be a real end-all, be-all kind of character, and I wish it had delivered, but it didn't. And there were some parts at the end of the movie that were a little bit lazy. I still like the environment, the area that the movie ended in. They could have done something really cliche and ended the movie in an evil lair, but instead that's there, but it's in a different part, and I was really happy about that.
So, yeah, so Spectre is not the greatest Bond movie. It's not the greatest one of the Daniel Craig franchise, but it's still really good.
Phil, you need to write for a website with roughly like 500 to 600 readers.
Okay. What does that mean?
I just, the way you talk about things and like the way that like, just the way you think so critically about things and the way you present your ideas reminds me of a website that I find like on Stumble Upon.
I know exactly what you mean. Like one of those kind of,
for some reason that makes perfect sense.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like just one of those little,
it just sounded like an article.
It sounded like an article that maybe like had like 75 shares or something, and it was on Dig or something like that.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah, it's good. No, you definitely like gave me a.
The person writing is making money if you've got that much. So
you dude, like, yes, you just give very in depth and like very thought out.
Oh, thank you, man.
No, it's
flattering. Okay, so John, I want you to hear you talk about it.
So
thanks, bro.
No, it was good. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I was kind of worried because the reviews for Skyfall and Casino Royale are in like the 80s, and Quantum of Solace is like a 59, and this is a 60. Meaning, and I didn't like Quantum of Solace. Ooh. So
really,
isn't that the weak?
It is the weakest, but I don't think it's the worst Bond movie ever made.
No, it's not the worst.
What's the worst Bond movie ever made?
Bond movie
Die Another Day.
Yeah, the right one right before Casino Royale.
The fucking one. Where he gets in a fucking plane at the beginning and shoots everyone?
I don't know.
Which one was that? Because that's the best Bond movie ever made.
I don't know. I don't know. See, there's
a fucking jet at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, okay. That's Tomorrow Never Dies. I'm talking about Die Another Day. There's a lot of bad Bond movies, but the good ones are some of the greatest action movies ever made, and that's my consensus. Continue, Johnny.
Oh.
Yes. God damn it, yes.
Okay. So I really enjoyed Casino Royale for trying something new with Bond. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a very classy movie, and it had a unique element. That's why people really love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skyfall I loved because it sort of brings everything full circle. It analyzes what James Bond's all about. I thought that had a lot more depth than most Bond movies ever did. So that's why it's my favorite Bond movie ever. And I love Javier Bardem. So,
oh, yeah.
And so, since I love the actor who plays the villain,
Christoph Waltz,
I'm a big fan of him, even though I couldn't remember his name just for a second. I expected to be disappointed because, like you said, you were let down, and a lot of people said that. I honestly wasn't really.
Good.
I love Christoph Waltz, and when he showed up, it was for like, it wasn't like a great Bond villain, but it was for an appropriate amount of time for me to be like, yeah, Christoph Waltz, villain, cool. Like he's cool, he's a villain, and his role as a villain was important. But that being said, though, what matters most to me in a Bond movie is the direction. The cinematography, the action scenes, like the pacing, and like the color scheme and stuff. Like all of those things are really what Bond movies do best. And so this movie, fuck his suits. Oh my god.
Fuck his suits?
No, like holy fuck, he's got some nice suits. Like Daniel Craig can wear anything.
I wish I had some nice suits.
And look like incredible at all times.
Whoa.
This is getting into some weird territory.
Dude man,
Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt wear cool suits?
I mean, yeah.
Sometimes.
Dude, he's a spy.
Yeah. No, okay, so there's a scene where he's standing in the desert waiting for something, and he's wearing some, like, aviators and this brown suit. And it, like, blends perfectly with the colors and the set piece. And just is like, well, you couldn't look any cooler than right now.
Oh, in
and
the
then,
desert?
Okay,
here's how you look cooler. Scarf, white shirt, jeans, white shirt tucked kind of into your belt. Gun holster, like
red checkered scarf.
Yeah, like I don't know, like kind of like a,
the kind of like the Middle Eastern scarf.
Yeah, Middle Eastern
the,
yeah,
like military scarf, stuff. Wear
grungy white, like halfway button
cargo
shirt,
cargo sort of
cargo pants.
Yeah,
some like you know kind of up hair, just fell out of a fucking plane. Oh, that's how you look better.
Sir Francis Drake's necklace.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Nolan North's voice.
So, so he's just wearing this brown suit and he looks awesome. And then they get picked up in fucking Rolls Royce. And then the very next scene, the set piece changes and he changes to a blue suit.
Wait, in his Rolls Royce?
Like, I don't know. He
steps out of the Rolls Royce in a different suit?
No, no, like he goes into a building and there's sort of like a hotel room. But there is no, like, I don't know where he got the suit from, though. I
didn't realize that.
It's not like there was a suit in this room.
It was underneath his brown suit.
He just somehow got, like, his other sweet suit, and he walks out in that suit. I'm like, this movie is just an ad for really high-class suits. It's like, oh, no,
that's what I look for in movies.
Honestly, like
what kind of suits does this movie have?
This is the only movie franchise where it's so goddamn classy that, like, it can do stuff like that, and that's like, you, like, I'm watching it for the wristwatches and the cars that they drive and the suits that they wear. Like, this is one of the movies where product placement is so cool that it's like, it's only the best of the best.
All of a sudden, Bond takes out a sidekick and you just see it. Nokia.
How was Dave Bautista? How was
he? Oh, wait, Batista's
fine.
In there?
Yeah, he's perfectly fine.
Is that a second movie now?
He does exactly what...
He's had a few.
He does exactly what, you know, he's supposed to do.
Who's David Bautista?
With the role he has.
The big henchman guy.
Yeah.
You mean the big hulking
guy? Yeah, he's the big badass.
Actually...
Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
As a villain, they built him up well. I didn't like how they... Because, you know, every villain's got to have a cool, like, takedown. Right. He didn't have a cool takedown at all.
I just meant how was he, like, his... like.
As, like, an actor?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a cool villain, and they just didn't handle it.
A cool takedown, as in the way he dies?
As, like, you know, he's the big, stereotypical, brutal guy who's beating people up. That
gets thrown into a plane propeller?
Yeah. He's the kind of guy that gets just totally decimated, but in this movie, his death was like...
See, that was my biggest issue with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
That was my...
Take it completely off topic.
That was my issue with Dark Knight Rises, is how Bane...
He just
died in a corner. He got fucking blown away.
Yeah,
and you see him kind of die off screen, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're right. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Gotta have a good death.
Yeah. Gotta have a good death.
Yeah, I mean, if you're watching an action movie, they always have that guy who fucking punches people's eyeballs into their sockets.
Yeah.
He
always breaks a neck. I'm guessing Batista breaks a neck in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. He gouges an eye. Batista
gouges their eyes and then pulls their skull apart like a sandwich.
He always does.
Yeah, he always does.
Known for that.
That's gross.
Well, that's cool. I'm excited to see it.
I would like to see it.
It's better. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't think it was as crafty as the other two. But it was directed by Sam, whatever,
Mendes.
Fisher?
Mendes.
Where do you rank it?
How many severed fillheads?
With the Craig movies.
I would give it an 8.5.
8.5 severed fillheads?
Yeah,
8.5. That's off the fucking charts. Fillheads.
Okay, going by Metascore, I gave...
No,
I,
fillheads.
Fillheads, dude.
I don't know the fuck scale.
One to four, dude. One to four fillheads.
Oh,
if I give it fillheads, it's like an 11 out of 10, but it's
That's
not.
That's fucked up, dude. I said four fillheads.
Oh, four fillheads.
Yeah, okay. You can only go to four
fillheads.
Out of
four fillheads.
Four?
You can do half.
Three and a half. 3.5 fillheads. Okay. No, okay. So, ranking them with the other ones, I would say, since it got like a 60 on Metacritic, the other one got a 59, I think that... I would give this a 75, where the other two are 80, 81, and then the other one can stay at 59 and Rotten Hell, because it was in that.
So, like, three fill heads.
So you would rank it behind Skyfall?
No.
And Casino?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Above Quantum of Solace by a lot.
Yeah, because this was just, like, this didn't have as much purpose or crafty. It wasn't as creative. It was a Bond movie that was trying to encapsulate cool things from other Bond movies.
A little more by the numbers.
Yeah, and it did it well, and that's what I wanted. And there wasn't really a Bond movie like that yet with Craig, so it's like, okay, if you're going to end the Craig quadrology, there you go.
Wait, is this
Was it a tour de force?
No.
That's just a word that means nothing to me.
Oh yeah,
I see on the front of a box for a movie, and I'm like, well, that I know. Cool. I know nothing more.
Dude,
about
it means
this.
A lot to me because the first time I ever heard it being used in a
it was
review
on the front of Die Hard 2,
Die Harder. It was like the like fucking New York Times review, early leaked review of Red Dead Redemption. Ooh. They said it was like the first thing I heard about the game was it was a tour de force, and I was like, well, I've never heard that used in a review. New York Times. Wow, that's how they review things. I guess they call things tour de force.
This game is art, clearly.
Yeah, I'm so used to just reading IGN that like.
Fun factor, dude. How's the fun factor? Yeah, how's the reviewers still, dude?
Lasting appeal.
Yeah. Jeez. New York Times wouldn't know shit.
Yeah, they don't know fuck nothing about fun factor.
They're too busy watching fucking EDA.
Or replayability. What's EDA?
Fucking Polish.
Who the fuck is on your roof?
Oh, that's just the heat. Heat. Turn it on. Dude. It's cold in here.
I'm going to turn it off, actually.
Turn it off, dude. Turn it off.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Don't go anything anywhere.
Anything else to say about Spectre?
Guys, watch it.
Check it out.
Fallout 4.
Oh wait, no. I want to talk about a couple things before we get into Fallout 4.
We can't talk about.
It's gonna be like 3 goddamn hours of Fallout 4. Okay. So, couple things. 2 things, 3 maybe. 1. I watched Fargo, the TV show.
Okay.
The FX television series.
Yes.
Have any FX of you,
has the movies.
I've heard of it. I've heard very little about it. Like, you figure, like, it would be as big as Breaking Bad was when it started, because Breaking Bad got huge really early, and Fargo, so, I'm hearing nothing about
it. Fargo?
I've heard it's great.
It's critically acclaimed, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Have you watched the movie by the Coen brothers?
I wish.
It's a great movie.
My grandma's seen it. My own grandmother's seen it.
My grandpa's seen it.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
I posted on Facebook, I'm like, check out the show Fargo. My grandpa's like, I've seen Fargo. I was like, what? It's a brutal movie.
Your grandpa?
Yeah.
Wait, the one that, the Bible thumper?
Yeah. He loves the violent movies, actually. Anyway, my grandpa fucking loves Kill Bill. Loves Kill Bill.
Wow.
Kill Bill's all right.
He watches it all
the time. That's insanity, man. That makes me want to crack your skull. Wait.
Well,
anyways, Fargo, tell me about it.
So Fargo is an anthology kind of series. It's got like a 90 on Metacritic, so it's really critically acclaimed right now. It's sort of a successor to the movie. The whole series is like murder mysteries, sort of. Not that much mystery, but just murder drama set in North Dakota and Minnesota. Okay. And so it's all around Minnesota nice. Like, they all have the, like the Minnesota accents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see people acting like that, but really they're like a killer.
All slightly passive-aggressive.
Yeah, all of it. And so there's a lot of black comedy to it, and a lot of really
Expect that one.
A lot of violent humor. And the show is loaded with it. But the movie was just based on...
What show is this? What channel is this on?
It was on FX.
Okay. FX has the movies.
The movie is set in the 80s in that area, and then the show, season one, is set in 2005. So it kind of, I mean, it's a new story, but it uses some of the things from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a totally different, you know, murder and different town even, but it's like the same, like, area. And season two pulls a True Detective. It doesn't turn into a piece of shit, though. It goes back to the 70s, and, like, the whole style of the show changes completely.
Interesting.
It's now a 70s, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the cast changes 100%. Again, it's another mystery, another murder series, another town. But the cast is incredible. They've got fucking Billy Bob Thornton as the villain and Martin Freeman as one of the main characters.
Did
Billy Bob Thornton is the best goddamn villain I've ever seen.
So he was in the movie, awesome. Right? He was in the movie?
No.
He wasn't in the movie?
No.
Okay.
He was in Sling Blade.
Okay. I thought he had a role in Fargo.
John
though.
Wayne Gacy. That's true, which is actually around the same time. That's why I say that.
But no, so he plays this like sort of hitman guy who's rolling around, and oh my god, this show is phenomenal. It's only 10 episodes. In those 10 episodes, it wraps up an entire series worth of story, and it was incredible. You have to watch Fargo. You can watch it totally out of context, whatever you want. Just watch it.
It was not even nominated for Best Picture in 1996. It wasn't even in the nominations.
What was? Which is funny, because I watched the movie after I watched the first episode of Fargo of the show. I was like, I got to watch the movie. It was probably one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies I've seen. It was really
great
enjoyable.
Movie.
Better or worse than Twin Peaks?
The Fargo show?
Yeah.
Technically better because it ends.
Very well.
Twin Peaks is awesome.
What else you got?
And I beat Life is Strange, actually, a little while ago. unexpectedly, it's one of my favorite games this year. Mm. It's in my top three. Or it's my number three. It's below Witcher 3 and Bloodborne, but...
Okay, so let me toss you a scenario.
Yeah.
My fiancé and I both want to play this. Is this the kind of game that we could play together?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very good game for that because it's, you know, it's like a TV show.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make choices together.
Until so. we morally differ on a choice and then get into the biggest fight of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. The game will leave you in shambles. It's just like, it's, yeah. Hmm. It, that game is that a very...
sound appealing.
No, I don't want to be left in shambles.
It's an emotional ride.
Is it emotional tour de force?
It's a tour de force. yeah, and I'm hoping that the sales are doing good for it. It's so awesome because it's made by these French guys. I mean, it's set in Oregon.
Yeah, what happened to that tornado?
The what?
Don't worry about it. Never mind.
Yeah. so the guys, it was cool. I was following their Twitter, the creators, and they were like coming to Oregon on vacation right after the fifth episode just released. Right after I beat the game, I was looking at their Twitter and they're just posting pictures of Florence, Oregon, and like they're just going around because that's where the game's set is a town like Wallport and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're just going around taking pictures of the architecture of the house. Like, well, I guess we did get this right.
Nice.
And I was just like, these guys aren't Oregonians. They're in fucking Paris and they're making this game about Oregonians.
That's pretty cool.
That's weird. Nice. And I mean,
it's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The dialogue definitely is pretty dang corny, but it picks up as it goes on, it becomes less
so. It's weird to think of someone coming all the way to the States from Paris and going to Florence.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, he was going to, like, Portland.
Fuck, gotta get some saltwater taffy.
Yeah.
Eat a Moe's.
Yeah, this is America, cool!
Oh, fuck yeah, seven feathers!
It's a casino and a resort.
What? Let's go to Honeyman.
What's Honeyman?
It's a dune park.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think I've been there.
You probably have.
Yeah.
You've been there, dude.
You've been there.
They also spent a lot of time in Bend and Portland.
Bend has come a long way.
Yeah. You be nice. Much. Life is strange. Okay.
I got the feeling this is a conversation you had with somebody before.
Yeah, so I think we're going to start that once we get off Fallout, probably. Or maybe we'll start it. Yeah,
somebody needs to finish that game. It's in my... I didn't expect that the game that I that was by the people who did Remember Me was going to be like
what an odd transition
more satisfying for me to play than or after I'd finished it like more like conclusive and satisfying than Metal Gear.
Remember Me is my game of the year in 2012.
Did you play it?
I did.
I played the demo.
How was
best
it?
Best demo I've
some
ever played.
It's all right. I heard that the story ended really well, and that the gameplay got really stale.
It was just all right. Yeah. I really fucking love the soundtrack.
Oh yeah,
it was fantastic.
And I heard that the cyberpunk like Neo Paris was cool.
Yeah, everything about it was like all right.
Yeah,
it was an all right game.
It's funny because it uses the engine of Life is Strange, so I could totally see the graphics and like the rendering and stuff. And it was just weird looking at like a slow-paced adventure game looked like
Strike that. 2.
A Devil May Cry like beat 'em up looking thing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it was fine. But is that it, Johnny? Should we?
I think. Let's see. Fargo, Life is Strange, Spectre. I think that I enjoyed as an action movie as a like espionage action movie. I think I enjoyed Mission Impossible more.
Fuck yes.
I keep thinking back
it's
on
a great
that movie,
fucking movie.
Listen, me and my mom and my dad are talking about it, we're like, wasn't that fucking awesome?
Yeah. Johnny, I wanted to ask you that, but I didn't want to reopen up that can of worms and possibly.
Well, you might find a can of worms you might be thankful for if you're scavenging for food in the wasteland, the good old wasteland of the Commonwealth.
I'll let you have that one.
Fallout 4.
That was alright.
Yeah, you're just trying to.
Yeah, you're just trying to right now.
It comes off as really slutty.
Do we need to trans?
Really slutty.
Yeah, really just...
Very slutty. Very...
A little kinky.
A little bit kinky.
A little too kinky for me.
Nothing's too kinky. Fallout 4. Where do we even fucking begin?
I know where to begin.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly where we're going to
There's no fucking cloth physics.
There is, dude.
There's fucking goddamn
Johnny,
cloth physics.
Johnny, back me up.
I'm wearing a goddamn
I'll show you right now.
Coat, okay?
I will show you this very
I have to see this
and
after
showing. And flapping.
Dude, I have seen fucking zero of them.
Okay, can I tell you my experience with cloth physics?
Yeah.
As anybody that knows me knows, yeah. I am a big fan of trench coats with cloth physics.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
In real life.
It's a game breaker.
I look at the trench coat and I'm like...
Yeah, I flap it around.
If it moves, yeah.
Then I'm good. I like this person wearing it. If not, beat the shit out of him.
Beat the fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Blow their brains out. Send them anthrax.
Classic.
Hmm?
Classic anthrax.
Dude, like... Dude, I took that... Yeah.
Which album?
Classic, dude. What?
Which album? Among the Living?
Dude. Yeah, I'll send them my fucking album. I'm like, you motherfucker!
Piece of fuck, here you go! So, Fallout 3, as we know, did not have cloth physics. So I was wondering, this whole time that Fallout 3 has been prepping for launch, and people have been talking about it, getting it early, playing it, and all this shit, I've been wondering, does this game have cloth physics?
And no, it doesn't.
I look
That's
it up.
The answer.
Nobody knows. Nobody talks about it. Nobody cares like I do.
Because
okay?
I didn't pay attention.
Nobody cares. Okay?
Yeah.
Except me.
If
so,
I got the game early, I would publicize whether or not it passes stair test or cloth test.
Stair test.
Big-ass test. Huge test.
The fuck is a stair test?
River, you know the stair test. You just don't know it by that name. A stair test is when you play a game and you go to a set of stairs and see if your feet offset
when you stand
on a set of
stairs.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, that lazy bullshit. Fallout did that. Fallout 3.
It did.
No, it did.
That was one thing it did really well. So
Wait, no, I thought they failed it.
No, they had stair tests. It was just kind of weird.
Wait, really?
But they had it, yeah.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure.
Girl.
Thought I remembered it. Anyway, here's the thing. I'm playing the game. It's the very first... You start off... spoiler alert for the very, very beginning of the game for anybody that hasn't played it. You start off... Once you get out of the vault, you're in this little town where you start the game at because you start before the explosion. And you're going back looking through your old town. It's blown up. It's all fucked up. And anyway, the point is, I'm leaving this town. It's like literally the first thing I'm doing in the game after I get out of the vault. And all I have is my vault jumpsuit. And I cross this bridge to go to the next area and explore. And I see a dead body on the ground. It has an outfit. I pick it up. I put it on. And it's got a duster with cloth physics. Literally the first outfit I find in the game, as if the designers heard my cries from afar and knew that nobody was answering my questions, and so they threw that in there just for me.
Give me. Just on your game, because there's none in mine.
There was one in Johnny's, too.
There's several in mine.
What the fuck?
I'm traveling around with a detective, and we're both wearing flopping trench coats.
Nick Valentine.
What an awesome name.
That motherfucker's missing still in my game. I haven't found him.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You should, because as soon as you do, he's a party member, and he is the
coolest. Can we all agree that fuck that dog?
Dog?
I haven't used
fuck
him.
Dog.
Get yeah, the fuck
get the fuck
dog.
Out of my yes. fucking way.
God! If you're fucking listening, yeah. Get your fucking meaty ass out of the fucking way.
You're
all right?
A slut.
Bitch.
Yeah, I usually use the robot.
Mr. Cogsworth?
Cogsworth, yeah, I love Cogsworth.
Fuck.
Well,
I love when he sees you
come
and
here,
falls
bitch.
Apart.
What?
When he sees you and he's like, oh, everything's going well. I've just been... And then you ask him,
how do you polish
really
rust? It's been terrible.
It's been terrible. I tried sweeping for 10 years.
Poor fucking guy.
I actually laughed. Yeah,
that was funny.
I loved him, though.
I loved him, man, until I shot his cock in... I don't know.
What did you do?
I shot his cock in, dude.
yeah. I love the party members in this game, so well I don't love them. I love some of them.
I've been rolling around with Strong.
But I love the system.
I only have two party members. Where do you get these guys?
There's seriously 13 party members in this
game. A lot,
I have like 6.
I did my first Brotherhood of Steel mission. I've just been building the Minutemen and getting all these...
How long has everyone played?
I'm at
about 9 hours, I think.
I guess that's the best
estimate.
19
or 20.
It's just I'm making different decisions from you guys, I guess.
Yeah. No, I played like 15 or 16 hours, and
And I've got, I think, 4 or 5 party members.
We all have it on... Okay, Phil, you have it on consoles. We all have it on PC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just got the Diamond Sin.
What's your level? Okay.
Yeah, so what's your level?
I'm at level 10 now.
Okay.
I'm at level... almost level 16.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm 14.
Okay.
I think I'm like 9.
Okay. Fucking Jordan's at like level 28 or 30 or something.
Literally no. Okay, so I really wanted Elizabeth, my fiance, to get to try this game out. And so she... First of all, she spends like 45 minutes on the character creation.
Of course.
Makes a really lovely looking character, though.
Yeah.
And then gets
Aaron
out,
helped me on mine, too.
Gets out into the Commonwealth. Just fucking goes left. Doesn't even go to Codsworth. Goes left. First fucking place she finds, she just walks past this fence, looks on the ground, there's a fucking fat man.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a mini nuke launcher.
Fuck.
Goddamn, like an hour into the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have.
This first thing she fucking finds. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I still have
I was watching, I was like, are you fucking serious? It was one of the dumbest things that's ever happened to me.
Dumb.
Yeah.
So let's just, okay, let's do this because we have, it's a hard game to narrow down, like, and talk about. So let's just separate it out into, like, first off, what do we think about the combat?
I think it's great. I think, like, it's a totally viable option. And I found myself just not using bats a lot.
Same here.
Yeah. Like, the shooting feels really good.
Sometimes I'll use vats to, like, discover enemies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I will fucking finish them off in real time.
Yeah. I've been bouncing back and forth between the two.
I mean, yeah, me too. Like,
they did a good job making vats less OP because it doesn't pause time anymore.
Yeah. It still goes, right.
Yeah, so when you're fighting ghouls, they're fucking, and they're doing
they're
their
coming after you.
Yeah. They're goddamn terrifying.
Their lunge is like, well, yeah, it's like a bullet.
Oh, I love how they can lose limbs and still come after you. Yeah. Like, if you can shoot their legs off and they'll fucking crawl at you.
There's robots, too.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking hate synths.
So, the robots, like the...
Protectrons and stuff?
Yeah, the Protectrons. Somebody posted on Reddit, they blew his legs off, and it was just this explosion, and there's all this fire, and it was like a scene from Terminator. Nice. He was just using his arms to just, like, crawl.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He was actually gaining.
You want to know how I killed a radiated ghoul? I threw 2 grenades at it, and then I sent Cobblesworth after him to hack him up.
Cobblesworth?
Or like Codsworth. Whatever. Codsworth.
I really appreciate the grenade system in that game. Because in the past, it's been I have to equip grenades and then...
Right. Much better.
Are you guys using mouse and keyboard?
I'm using a controller.
Same here.
Me too. Okay, I heard the mouse and keyboard is atrocious, and the same, if you hold down the fire button, it throws a grenade, whereas for controllers, you hold down the melee button, which is way more convenient. But I heard that the left click, if you hold it down, you toss a grenade. Like, there's all these really
bad designs
for the
mouse keyboard. Automatic weapons.
I don't know. Well, maybe that's not... Maybe someone's bullshitting me. I don't know. I was reading about it online.
Okay, so... Has anyone, Johnny, you might be the only one, have you started messing with supply lines and stuff?
Supply lines.
So you know how you have multiple bases with multiple different inventories in your workstations?
I fucking hate that.
So there's a perk, I have it, called Local Leader. It's under your charisma. And I think it's like 6 ranks down or something like that. And it'll allow you to set up supply lines between your bases to unify your inventory between bases.
Oh my god, that's dumb. That should be a mechanic in the game.
Yeah, it's
charisma is useless in this game.
It kind of is.
It's horrible.
Okay, one of the things, and I'm not complaining. I love this game.
Oh yeah,
I fucking love it. I'm not complaining. I feel like in certain areas, there is less than Fallout 3 and New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there is, specifically... Dialogue. Even more so, I feel like there is less places to go in. Like, you walk into a town, you walk into a ruined building, there's always, like... I felt like you could go into every house in 3 in New Vegas. I felt like you could go into every... Like, there's a lot of boarded-up doors in 4.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot less, like... You walk into a town... There's, like, maybe, 5 or 6 actual buildings that you can go to and loot and stuff like that. Also, I feel like there's just less stuff around that you can pick up. Like, I feel like you go into... Like, if you go into... And maybe this is just me. Am I alone in this?
I get what you mean about the doors.
I remember there being quite a few in like the bigger cities and stuff in 3 in New Vegas. There being a lot of blocked off.
Maybe I'm just I'm misremembering
so,
3.
Difference. I think that Fallout 4 does pretty much everything better than 3.
Okay.
But New Vegas is hard to beat because from a design standpoint, people have analyzed that game and there is a lot of brilliant design in that.
Yeah.
First of all, here's what I love about New Vegas. It is bigger. It is open. And it is just a lot of environmental openness, like little towns, little interesting key points. I've never been a fan of what Fallout 3 did with the downtown metro of D.C. The only big city in New Vegas was New Vegas, and it was just an NPC city with all the intrigue going on in there, Novigrad or whatever. You know, everything else around it was the wasteland. That's what I'm interested in. I don't like going around big city clusters. And Boston and the Capital Wasteland, like half of the map is these big buildings and you can climb them and you can go into the, but it's like it takes a lot of time. There's too much. It's like overwhelming.
I don't like the big buildings. I don't like the big buildings with multiple levels that go up really. I don't like the verticality in Fallout as much.
Yeah.
I think that the game I agree that Bethesda does that. Yeah, and I agree that the game lends itself better to like more open environments.
Yeah.
Because I think it's better for the combat and I think it's better just for the experience overall. It just I like it more.
That's how I picture the wasteland. I don't want to. And there's more load screens. That's why I hate about the cities is that the fucking piece of shit engine has a million long load screens. So, oh look, there's a building and across the street there's another building. Well, I know I'm going to go in there and it's going to be a long dungeon where I'm just going to be looting stuff and just going up to the point where I'm at the top, and then I go back down. And
I have it installed to an SSD, and the load times are, like, just nothing for me.
Oh, yeah.
They're there, I mean, obviously, and I wish they weren't.
Some of them are long. Some of them are really short. I don't...
Yeah, I don't... There's something, like, intangible that feels smaller about this game. Whether it be like map size or maybe I don't know. There's just something whenever I'm playing it, I'm like this just feels.
The moment I saw the map, I got
smaller
the sense
than
that
New Vegas. I don't know, and I know it's still like massive, and I know it's still huge, and I know I still haven't uncovered like probably a fraction of what the game has to offer. It's just I'm wandering around the Commonwealth, and I'm like, this feels great, like, and it's awesome, and there's a lot of stuff. Like I'm always discovering stuff, but this just, for some reason, feels a little more constrained.
I almost feel like, and this is just my early impressions, but in my early impressions of the game, I feel like there's less NPC like
interaction.
Yeah,
yeah, I hate that.
And that to me was like a big part of. I remember even in like a New Vegas, people would approach you and like talk to you. Like you'd randomly get approached by people and be like, hey, I heard you got those collectible blah blah blah. Fucking give them to me.
Yeah.
Shit like that. You know, people would approach you and you wouldn't go very long without interacting with, I mean, even if it was like a mix of, you know, you have these enemy encounters and you meet an NPC and enemy encounters and probably more enemy encounters than NPC interactions, but in this one, it's just very few.
Well, it kind of falls prey to, like, in New Vegas in 3, when you were talking to people, you saw exactly what you were going to say. I feel like a lot of these dialogue options are vague enough that I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say if I select this.
I like being able to see
exactly what I'm going to say.
Well, not only that, it cuts down a lot of the depth of what you possibly could say.
That's true.
So all of your options are so cookie cutter, they're horrendous. Like, you have the same four bullshit every time. You have sarcasm, whatever the fuck that means. That usually means be a bipolar asshole, because it's not like Dragon Age sarcasm where it's actually funny. It's, I'm a dick and I'm going to piss you off. So I'm not going to pick that. And then there's be an actual dick, which is like, you walk up to a guy, he's like, my son died because of me. You should feel ashamed of yourself. Like, why would I say that? Nobody's going to fucking say that. Nobody's role-playing a character where they don't know the context of a scenario and they just say, yeah. Fuck you.
I feel like...
contribute to the enjoyment at all.
Yeah, and I feel like the dialogue, kind of paths are a lot more constrained. I feel like there's, like, in New Vegas, there were, you know, you get certain options where there was, like, say this because your science is high, or say this because your stuff is high.
Right.
This gives you, you know, it's either yellow, orange, or red. Like,
A little bit of a Mass Effect thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, it's they take away, you know, the...
I will say, sorry, Phil, this is quick.
Okay.
Because Johnny just brought it up. I agree with everything you're saying, but I will say that in 3 and in New Vegas, there were always, like, at least 2 dialogue options that you would never choose well.
Right.
You know, it had those 2 that were, like, just ridiculous. But at least you knew what you were going to say.
But you felt like you had, like, unlimited... Like you felt like the game could put in, like, 6 or 7 different things if you wanted. But in this scenario, I feel like I have stuff I want to say.
Right.
And they're limiting it to 4, and they're wasting 2 of the slots with something that I'll never use.
Right, because you...
Meaning that the only thing you can do is say yes or ask what it is like an idiot.
No matter what you wanted to say in New Vegas and 3, you were able to get it from one of the options.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. With this one, it's just yes, no, sarcasm, or something else.
It's or explain it again.
Well, I don't
want
to say that. I want to be like, I want to respond to what you're saying with some other...
I do like the way some of it's set up. I like the fact that you can literally just, you could walk up to the guy, press a button, and, you know, like Croninger, you pretty much walk around while the guy's talking to you. And I love
that.
Yeah,
I think the actual, like, system is pretty elegant. Mm-hmm.
But there's a, you know, you bring up some really great points. There is something missing.
Why couldn't they add, like, I mean, if they could have kept what they had in place, because it's a good system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they could have just added more options, like have the triggers mean, or different buttons.
Yeah.
Like, just add more options.
I don't like the paraphrase.
Be less vague.
You know, I don't
either.
I don't like the 3-word, hate the news, love the news.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Like, why would I hate the news? Like they asked me, they said, hey, you, new guy, what's your opinion on the news? And at that point, you're picking favorites, mayor or the girl.
Yeah.
But they're asking you this, whether or not you hate or love the news. And so I'm just like, I don't have an opinion. That's stupid. Like, that was my response. And that's not, I never would pick the uninteresting thing in a game. But I did because that was a fucking stupid question to ask me. So, like there is...
Did you kill that girl afterwards?
No.
You should have.
But
she's got a legendary weapon.
She's got a hat.
Don't spoil it.
She doesn't have a legendary weapon.
No, not. Even if she did, that's way smaller than most of the spoilers you give away.
Yeah. Also, it's just a legendary weapon. Other things have legendary weapons.
Anyways, so what I hate, because what I always love about Elder Scrolls games and stuff or Fallout is I love to be inquisitive. I love to ask every question and exhaust all the dialogue.
Same
for
here.
Some reason. It's just, like, therapeutic to just hear characters talk in Bethesda games.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And you get to... You sometimes will find, like, an interesting dialogue tree that will lead to some special stuff out of that.
Yeah.
Like, in the last games, if you didn't ask, like, maybe the 4th question on the list, maybe they wouldn't... They'll give you an item or something.
And I don't feel dumb... So in this game, it's horrible to question things because you can only usually ask, like, 1 question... And that question is, I'm a dumbass and I have no idea what this is. Even if your science is rank 10, you're going to say, what's a synth? And then, seriously, I can't tell, because they assume that the player might not know what a synth is because it's so open, you might find out what a synth is through 20 different, you know, ways of playing the game. And so every time anyone mentions a synth in any quest, there's always a question. What's a synth? And they say, have you been living under a rock? And I can't tell you how many times I've been told that about all the lore things in this game, where whether or not I knew it already, just from common sense, so, like, I knew that, my character should know that, but this is, like she's actually asking just, like, unnaturally, like tell me, explain this for the first time to me.
Right.
Like, and then the characters are always react like, wow, this is surprising that you don't know this. And I'm like, I do, and I have had other people explain it. I want to know your take as an NPC. It's so dumb.
This is not related to the dialogue, but I love the weapon crafting.
Yeah.
It's very good. I'm having a lot more problem in this game with encumbrance because I'm picking up a lot of shit.
I'm actually having less of a problem.
Yeah.
Because...
Fuck you.
No, because of the companion system.
Yeah,
because you're right.
Because of the companion system, I just dump... Because I have a place to dump everything, I always forget to do that.
Here's my problem.
I pile on with a companion, and we teleport back. We dump it all, like, with a press of a button, and then we go
back. Here's my problem. I got real fed up with dog meat really early on, and then I got the lone wanderer perk.
Which works with dog meat.
What?
Which works with Dog
Meat. It does?
It's Dog Meat's not considered a companion.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a tip posted online.
Shit.
Well, then that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I love the weapon. And the also the
Sorry.
The building, like building actual buildings in town stuff is easy.
It's really easy, and it's really fucking satisfying to scrap stuff.
It's just so easy.
I went through, yeah, I took like an hour. I put on a podcast, took an hour, and cleared out fucking
so
everything in Sanctuary. Everything. Every sign, every fence post, every fucking
tree.
Tire, every tree, every
bathtub.
Fucking everything.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun.
I love doing it. I'm not a great builder, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Building actual structures is like the best thing that I've built is like an actual fenced in farm and like with actual.
I'm having trouble finding food.
Really?
I need to get some caps and buy some food
from
Diamond City.
I fucking in every Bethesda game or every Fallout game at least, the only stat that, like when you're allocating your point, I dump everything into luck. Just everything. It's always served me.
Oh, really?
Well. I always max out my luck because I always find fucking so many caps and ammo everywhere. Like, so much, I find so much more just stuff. I find cooler weapons. It's
luck
always
and perception, so you can hit every shot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And get a crit.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I see a guy over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple perks that you should get right away for those of you who may not have gotten these yet. There's a scrounger perk, which you can rank up twice.
Which skill does that fall into?
Luck. And pretty early on, like rank 2 or 3.
Idiot Savant.
Idiot Savant's rank 5. So both of those are pretty crucial because the scrounger one gets
you.
I don't
think Idiot Savant is crucial, is it?
It gets you so much experience.
Yeah, but it's tied to your intelligence as well.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Somebody showed like a graph. This friggin' mathematician.
Who the fuck does these?
I don't
things?
Know, but I'm glad he did because he said there isn't. Even if you had rank 10 intelligence, it's still worth it to get Idiot Savant.
Wow.
Rank.
Okay. Interesting.
I guess you'll still profit with the EXP to level up at least a few times.
And there's no level cap on this game.
I'm ranked 5 intelligence. I don't think I need any more, so I'm getting lots of EXP from it.
Cool.
Now I have one question. We haven't mentioned the Brotherhood of Steel armor. How do you guys
the power armor?
Armor?
Yeah,
power armor. How do you guys
it's
like that?
It's a cool system, but I don't really. Yeah,
I got the fuck out of my power armor as soon as I could.
I found it pretty useful when I had to clear out a bunch of ghouls.
I feel like if I was on hard mode, I'd use it, but like I just like kind of collecting the suits and putting them away, and like this missing a leg, I found a piece here.
It's one of those things I'm just afraid to use because I'm afraid.
That's the thing is I got out of it because I was like I need to save this. It's like having an elixir in like a JRPG. I'm never gonna use this because I'll really need it, and then you never fucking use it.
Yeah, and
the credits
when,
roll.
When you
yeah.
really needed it, like, a lot. But
yeah. Forgot about it.
No.
You're so used to it.
Or, yeah, he's like, I can't use this because I'm fucking, there's going to be a harder fight, and then the credits fucking roll. So, yeah, it's one of those things, like, I will never use, like, my power armor because I'm afraid.
That's how
I have a feeling that you
just
that
use it
you'll
today.
Get to the, you'll, there's probably going to be a point in the game where it's, like, pretty crucial.
Yeah.
Maybe.
When a fucking death claw comes at you,
a
like, 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
So there was somebody was talking about that. Obsidian is really good at developing RPGs. Like that's their thing is RPGs. Bethesda is not as good. And like this they're good at many things, but like the hardcore RPG has never really been their expertise. Even in the old days, like that wasn't there was other people doing better work. But they always have, you know, their element that's always successful. Well, Obsidian had a genius way of opening up New Vegas. You get out there, you're immediately talking to people and finding out about the world. And you go out there and you see these farmers and you see their plight. You see the greaser guy come and threaten them. And he's from the greaser gang and they took over this prison. And there's all this backstory. And so you see what you're up against. And so in that region, you know that the bad threats don't come up there because the greasers are protecting them, and that's why these little villages are safe. But then you end up, you know, you have to deal with the greasers. Like, you're not facing just faceless, nameless raiders. In this game, the very first thing you do, the first encounter of human aggression you see, is you're just walking along, told, yeah, maybe some people in this place could help you. I don't know. I don't know why you'd need to go there, but go there. Okay. You're going there. You see a bunch of raiders with their backs turned to you, shooting somebody else you don't know. You have no idea if this person's good or bad. You just see a guy shooting him, saying, hey, help me shoot these other guys. And you're like, okay, I just woke out of a 200-year deep freeze and I'm a fucking housewife. Let me take this gat and explode some goddamn heads. And then they're just raiders. Who are they? Where are they from? Where do they live? What's their deal? Like, you know, like New Vegas tells you all of this in 20 minutes. It educates the player so well, and the world is so logically pieced together. Fallout 3 and 4 is always so bad about that.
Well,
it's just kind of there because they thought it was interesting and fun, which it works too, because it's so fun. So it's like the first playthrough is always good, but then like I look back at, like, if you were to like look closely,
I think
the differences, New Vegas is like the ultimate Fallout.
I think it's weird how that's swung, because I don't know if you guys remember right around when New Vegas launched, it was shit on a lot.
Oh, because it was, because I remember being even myself, like, you know, when you see it and it's a sequel to Fallout 3 and it looks the exact same, it looks just as bad, and
it looked worse, like the color palette
looked
horribly ugly.
So I think that was a lot of it, because at the time it was,
I didn't play it until all the DLC came out, and I was a huge Fallout 3 fan.
Yeah, by the time that game came out, you had a lot of games that were pushing the boundaries of the technology at the time. And sequels that were coming out, like Assassin's Creed 2, that were way better than the predecessor.
Yeah.
And then here comes Fallout New Vegas, and it looks like just more of the same. It looks like an expansion. Yeah. That's what it looked like at first. It wasn't, obviously.
Well, that's, I remember being like, is this a new game? Like,
yeah, that's what, yeah. Same here.
It's like the ODST thing. It was like, I can't tell if this is a new game or just like, yeah.
And then I played it. Yeah, I played it later, too.
I finished New Vegas like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I want to go back through it now, because it's been a little while, and I didn't finish it, and I didn't finish the DLC.
Annoying missions.
So. I played a lot.
I will
where
say...
You send the guys, the...
Yeah, the rocket ship one.
I did not
the
like
fucking
that
glowing... whatever, Children of
it
the...
It was funny, but it was an annoying mission.
It was...
Really annoying.
It felt like a classic RPG type of mission. It felt like a mission
in
from Fallout 2.
In that it was
2.
Annoying.
Yeah.
It was annoying. I don't know. I thought it was clever.
It was clever, but
get
it was
the blue key.
It was dragged out. It was
super. It took dragged. Fucking forever.
It took way too long for what it was.
And I had to do it 3 times.
I will say
that would make me hate it.
So you're playing as the woman. Are you playing? So you're playing.
I'm playing as a woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
she's got a good voice actor.
I'm playing,
dude. It was weird to hear Cogsworth say my name, because I typed in River. I typed in River, and it was like,
have you heard
Mr. River?
Have you heard the amount of... He's got, like, Snake and Plissken and...
Really? Do you not have Striker?
I didn't name my guy Snake. I named him Magnus, because I thought it was a cool name.
It's a fucking awesome name. I named him after a spy named John Wells.
I'm Lisa.
Your guy's name's John Wells?
John Wells? Yeah, it's an...
What did he say?
He calls you Mr. Wells.
Oh, okay.
Really?
But anyway, you see, if you play as the male, I think it makes a little bit more sense that he would get into combat, like, right off the bat, because he's already a war veteran. So, I didn't notice that until you brought it up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because she's a housewife.
She's a housewife.
She's going to blow fucking people's heads off.
Yeah, it did not make any sense, but, like, I just kind of pretended... Because that's the problem with this game, is that it gives, even though they do a fine job of it, they give you too much of a personality to where you can't really roleplay, which is
a big
part of Bethesda games.
Yeah.
A lot of people really enjoy making like a zany, homeless looking man who's a cannibal, you know, like, and hates everyone.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people like to play that way, and you know, with Elder Scrolls games, I do play with, like, oh, this is my character, this is my backstory. It's kind of like a thing that kind of forms in my head as I'm playing. I'm like, well, he probably came from this, and he probably did this, and
there's definitely less room for that.
Yeah, and so there's almost none, because you got to hear him talk. And so it's like, and you see, like, a predefined personality through their speech.
So you're either a good guy or an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you're kind of...
Or you're just a dumbass.
I mean, those
did you know you can shoot from cover, Phil?
Wait, fucking what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did anybody? So I found this out last night when I was, or two, a couple nights ago when I was playing. If it's like the Wolfenstein kind of cover system. Okay. So if you go up to a corner and you, like, he pulls his gun back, if you press aim, he'll peek around the corner.
Cocking kidding me?
I'm not, dude. I'm really serious.
Because the enemies do it a lot.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, there's so many good gameplay feel improvements.
It's a great game. It's a I fucking love it.
The feel of the game is so enjoyable.
I'm fucking loving it so far.
Yeah, really it's just like the thing about Bethesda games really is like for the time of them coming out, they're just barraged with faults, but at the same time, nobody can put them down because they're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I hope not. Because it's Fallout, it's easier to be positive about it years later, whereas with Skyrim, I couldn't. I was done with Skyrim after, like, 100 hours. I was just like, fuck, I was not happy with that. And I'm a big Elder Scrolls fan. I don't think I'll be like that with Fallout 4.
I loved Skyrim.
But when Fallout 4 is said and done...
Well, he did too. He played 100 hours of it.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I yeah.
I hate this game. I'm going to play it for 100 hours.
I have so many... Well, I put like 250 into Oblivion and like 100 into Morrowind. I fucking love Elder Scrolls.
Christmas, dude.
I put a lot into Oblivion. Oblivion was my first Elder Scrolls game.
Wait, were you just talking to yourself?
Yeah, you were. You were fucking.
Did anybody else hear that?
I did. All right, we're gonna play this backwards and hear
what did I say.
I don't know.
It's gonna be like the Sixth Sense.
I didn't even know I was talking that. I just.
You were muttering stuff, weren't? Were
okay.
He's talking about.
I was
killing
talking,
you in your
it
sleep.
It had nothing to do with Fallout 4. I just went off for a moment. I was. It was basic. I was thinking about how many crunches I'm on to doing. I'm on to 105.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. I feel good about
so
it.
Your weightlifting class?
I'm doing it. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's what about, the best thing I've
I'm
ever
just,
heard.
I'm Tuesday, I'm going to start doing squats without any support. So,
are you doing, do you do bench press or push-ups?
I haven't done any push-ups yet.
What about, what do you do for your chest?
Yeah.
I do butterflies.
What are butterflies? Like this?
It's like this. And I haven't done it as much as I should. I'm just now getting off my butt and making it more frequent. God, we got to talk about Fallout 4, guys. I'm sorry.
No, Phil, that went off in a real significant way that I liked.
Can we... Phil is insane.
Okay? Yeah, Phil is God.
You're insane.
Yes,
I guess so.
Phil is batshit insane.
When you think about it...
Phil is clinically depraved.
Oh, man. Yeah, weapon mods are
weapon
awesome.
Weapon mods are sweet.
Yeah.
I love modifying weapons.
I
feel like I keep seeing more mods, too.
Yeah, I think it's cool that enemies have modded weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the legendary enemies and the legendary weapons.
I haven't seen any yet. I'm
you
so
haven't
obsessed.
Seen any?
I found that. No. I just killed a legendary raider.
Oh, I killed.
I'm
I've
really
killed,
excited
like,
for that.
A bunch now.
It's so cool when you do it, though. It's so fun.
Always. Kill a legendary raider.
Do they say, Skinwalker? Oh, fuck your wife!
Yes.
And the camera zooms in on him. Shadow of Mordor.
Oh.
Yeah. Gravewalker is what they called you.
That's yes, Gravewalker.
Skinwalker. I was thinking of skin job.
Did they say they'd fuck your wife?
Yeah, dude.
Mm, it just doesn't sound like the same thing that would be in the Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
no,
that.
But Grognook! 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 That was such a great design.
I know.
For an enemy encounter.
That game was fucking rad.
I loved that game.
Yeah.
And those encounters were fucking super cool. Anyways,
Fallout 4.
What else?
Is there?
We have another game to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Call of Duty?
Call of Duty Black Ops.
We'll talk more about Fallout 3, but what are we at?
We're at an hour and a half.
Hour 28.
Well, let's get into a little bit, just briefly, about Black Ops 2.
Blops 3.
So you said Fallout 3 and Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, let's talk about
Flash and Blow Pass, man.
So,
blow my.
Yeah.
Living in the past.
Fallout 3, when you get the fucking huge robot, democracy is non negotiable. Bitches.
It's true.
Good year, 2008.
Bitch. Anyways, Black Ops 3.
Black Ops 3.
So I haven't played. I want to play it so bad.
I didn't get Black Ops. I'm not a Call of Duty guy.
Fuck you.
Your sister is.
She is.
Do you mind if I start and...
So you guys both got on PS4, right?
No, I got on PC.
I got on PS4. Yeah.
You fucking messaged me on Steam.
I know. Oh, God, I did. You're right.
Yeah, he's like, man, I didn't think you'd be day one Call of Duty.
I just didn't see his day one Call of Duty guy.
Well, you did
I. Think about buying it on PC strictly because I could get it for $36.
Dude, I got it on day zero. It was Friday night or Thursday night. And I saw like the first review come out for Call of Duty and it was positive. I'm like, oh yeah, a new Call of Duty comes out soon on Tuesday. I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then I looked, and I was like, fuck, it's out now. I had no plans of buying it, but because it had 3 days before Fallout, I'm like, I'm going to play it tonight. I'll play it right now.
Yeah. You got your monster.
Got my monster. I got my Rockstar.
I went to fucking Target to get Nuka-Cola.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
They've been out for fucking ever.
Yeah, well, they've been out since, like, the first customer walked in the door that day.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody bought all 25 at one of the stores I read online.
Bitch.
And some employees bought some of them and stuff like that. They get like 12 to 25 per store. And it's dumb, too. They're not even cool.
They got Quantum?
That's what they are. They're just Blueberry Jones.
Blueberry Yum Yum?
With a Nuka-Cola Quantum label that doesn't even look like the Quantum label from the game. And then it's just a twist-off cat. It's just a Jones.
Man, you're bumming me out, Johnny.
Doesn't glow. It doesn't turn your piss.
Doesn't
blue.
Give you radiation poisoning.
Doesn't give you +6 rides.
Radiation poisoning is a bitch in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was a lot. I always thought that radiation was worse in.
Dude, I've never had a problem with radiation poisoning in 3 in New Vegas.
Right away is very expensive too.
And it's very expensive, and fuck, man.
I've had a decent time with it. I've always got like 14 on me, but I think I got the scrounger perk.
I have 3, dude. I have the scrounger perk too.
Really? I got rank 2.
Well, fuck you then. That's all I have to say. Anyways, Black Ops 3, okay.
Black Ops 3.
Black Ops 3 is fucking sick as hell.
Wow.
God damn it, I'm going to go buy it tonight.
Is it really good?
Yeah, well, it's super like great. Call,
if you like,
it's great. I love Call of Duty. I fucking love Call of Duty. No, I don't. I don't know what I'm saying.
Pretty much, what I love about Call of Duty is the arcadey, like you know, the twitch and just the satisfaction. It is what it is, and I don't think it's always kind of like gotten its niche right.
But Black Ops 3 totally embraces it.
It just perfects
it.
Yeah, yeah. It goes for the cartoony, like unrealistic,
over the top.
But to the point where it's also really well balanced, because like Advanced Warfare just unlimited jetpacks everywhere to the point where it's just fucking Halo and everybody's
Advanced Warfare
flying around.
Yeah, I was mentioning this to you when we were talking about it. I played Advanced Warfare quite a bit.
God, I loved Advanced Warfare.
I did too, but multiplayer wise, I liked it, but it became like all the encounters were just everybody jumping. It was too much. The motion stuff, they had it, and it was cool, but I thought it became a little much. Like, it became almost like Halo, people jumping around all over the fucking place, and it's a little more subdued in Black Ops 3. It's more like classic Call of Duty, like, it's mostly ground combat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on the ground, you have encounters where people are flying around, but it's more rare.
I understand that this is the first Call of Duty game that branches into another Call of Duty title, since it has Kevin Spacey in it. Have you...
That was it.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking
about? Are you talking about Advanced Warfare with Kevin Spacey?
Isn't Kevin Spacey in Black Ops
3? No, he's
3
in
as well?
Advanced Warfare.
I thought I saw a video. Oh, fuck.
No, Kevin Spacey dies at the end of Advanced Warfare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I love Kevin Spacey, though.
Obviously, the campaign in Black Ops 3 is fucking terrible, and it's like super corny, but it's like.
Is it bad?
I mean,
I like the Advanced Warfare campaign.
Define bad. If you enjoy Call of Duty campaigns, there you go. It is what it is.
I hate them.
It's really pretty. What I love about Black Ops 3
kind
is
of a guilty pleasure.
It embraces the cyberpunk aesthetic, and it's got a lot of cybernetic arms and limbs. It's got a class system in the multiplayer. So it's like.
Yeah.
It's got 9 classes, and each class is a predefined character. So now you're playing as characters with lines, and like half of them are girls, and one of them's a robot. That just takes all the seriousness away and just turns into
full-on robot?
Like a cyberpunk party game.
Fine.
That's just awesome. And the perks are, like, the game's really well polished.
The weapons are great.
The weapons are fantastic. The balance of the maps and
the maps are so good.
The maps are and they're beautiful too.
How's Nuketown? Awesome. I haven't even got to play it yet.
It's awesome. I played the playlist like all weekend. The maps are gorgeous. The color palette that they use is really diverse and colorful and.
No, dude. Sorry.
Jesus.
I just want to play this game, man.
It's fine.
Fucking stupid. One thing I was telling Johnny earlier that I like about the maps is that I feel like in some of the past Call of Duties that they're always in like this balance issue where they're trying to avoid
maps that embrace camping. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in previous Call of Duty games, sometimes what they would do to combat that is they would have maps where every area has these just a million points of entry, mm-hmm. like overkill. So rather than like try and cleverly design maps so that there's, you know, special ways to get certain areas more than one, and you know, maybe you could get to an advantageous spot, but then there's ways to take you out. They would just, you know, funnel everybody in everywhere. And because of that, I feel like you would have more scenarios where you just walk in and get bombarded by some place you weren't even looking. Like, just killed from behind. Because it's not feasible that you'll just walk into a room and be able to, like, clear every opening and area, and there's places up here that people can get in. Like, it was just overkill.
Yeah.
And in this game, I feel like they do a clever job, a more clever design with the maps so that they don't have camping, but they're not overkill. So I like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't feel like I die as much as I did in previous Call of Duty games.
I also just love the ideas behind the maps. Like there's the Redwoods, and it's just this beautiful, beautiful forest with huge trees. It's really, really bright and mm-hmm. colorful. And then they've just got, like, these cyberpunk, like, these bridges that are built around the trees and
that one's cool
stuff like that. And then they have this one map that's like that scene from Inception when the city starts to like bend upwards, you know, and it's like all trippy. Like, it's like a snow map, and you're walking around, and on the left you see floating rocks, like, oh, that's weird. And you look at the right, and the fucking map is curving upwards. You can't go there, but for some reason it's just that there's buildings on the white.
Wait, what?
Yeah. it's trippy, it's man. Insane. I don't know what's going on.
Is there any justification?
No, it's fucking awesome.
Fuck it. Yeah, that's rad.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking rad.
That's the whole, like, a lot of this game is just, like the cyberpunk characters and stuff. It's just there, because it's cool.
You don't give a fuck about zombies at this table?
Yeah.
The zombies, so I'm not good at zombies, but it's cool. Okay. It's like, really hard, but this is, like, the best zombies yet.
I've heard that it seems incredible. I've heard, and it seems that it is incredibly, like, fleshed out, and
it has its own, like, story and stuff. It takes place.
It's got fucking Jeff Goldblum and Ron Perlman.
I didn't know that. Dog. That's cool. I'm really surprised that they haven't spun this out into, like, a $20, like, downloadable thing.
I'm surprised.
Is it like Jeff Goldblum with his glasses from Jurassic Park?
He plays a magician. It's really cool. It's set in, like, the 40s or 50s, and it's, like, got, like, a neo-noir.
And the loading screen is like this pulpy looking painting.
Like a film poster.
Yeah.
And so it's like going for like a Call of Cthulhu thing. And there's like, you can like play as a tentacled beast at some point. And then there's like other monsters other than zombies. In fact, they start throwing them at you right away.
So, no speech on Chaos Theory? God damn it.
Over my head, man.
Well, Jurassic Park fans will get it.
Mm.
Well, anyway.
Ron Perlman and Jeff Goldblum, there's like a burlesque dancer lady, and then he's playing like a magician I think Ron Perlman's a detective, and Jeff Goldblum's a, I don't know who the other guy is. But yeah, I don't know, it was just great hearing him talk, because Jeff Goldblum is playing Jeff Goldblum, like he's just...
Just like he does in every movie.
He just sounds like he was drunk when he was recording the lines. He's like, I love you, Jeff. He's the best.
Jeffy Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. Well, anything else about Black Ops?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Cyberpunk aspect makes me fascinated.
It's the perfect companion piece for Fallout.
That's the thing. I've done so much. I've been looking for, like, I've tried Rocket League. I'm just kind of burnt out on Rocket League. And I've tried, like,
you don't
I
want to put 300 hours into Rocket League?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't. I would love to, but I don't really want to.
Do you
want to
get into the meta?
God.
Like fucking beach ball with cars?
I've watched some high-level Rocket League stuff, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Phew.
I really like Rocket League, though, but that's another day. Anyways, is that a show, guys?
Yeah, I wish that one of us had played Tomb Raider so we could talk about that, because I'm really excited about
it. You have an Xbox One.
I do too. I hear a lot of good things.
It's just a game that I didn't want to buy that many games right now, because I'm already behind.
True.
So I'm just going to wait hold off on it.
Yeah.
And we'll, but I'm really excited to play it, so anyway.
I am too. I am really excited.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I believe it.
Call of Duty, Tomb Raider, and Fallout, seriously, basically, within they're three within 3 days of each other, right?
Good job, video games.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, what he said.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a Pixel Chicken podcast, fellas.
That got emotional.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And send your hate mail to Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
That's Facebook is Pixel Chicken Podcast. Facebook.com/PixelChickenPodcast. Twitter at Pixel_Chicken. Hate mail to Johnny goes to PixelChickenPodcast@gmail.com.
Give us a dig.
Give us a dig, yeah.
Yeah.
Dig us up.
Like, Revine, share, follow.
6 feet deep.
What?
Revine?
Revine.
Revine.
We can get a Vine.
Yeah, fuck, yeah.
Fucking Vine. I have so many ideas floating around for Vines in here. Right in here.
Yeah.
Right in the old...
Fucking let's get a Vine. I don't... Why not?
Pixel Chicken Vines.
Pixel Chicken... Yeah, fucking Revine us, please.
I'll have 10 day one.
God, please Revine us.
All right, that's it. Thanks for listening, and Ollie, thanks for chatting.
I'll see you next week. These other guys,
not so sure.
Not so sure.
Phil, sign us off.
Peace.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I can't.